Yeah, the old ADD is really cooking today. So if I say Wednesday and it's Tuesday, then I don't know. Just believe it. Somewhere in the middle, it's going to be right. So, but running a little hot today. So anyway, today is the closing of our study on the topic of being an overcomer. We started this some time back, and I was trying to figure out how do you dismount. You know, you can do a great routine as a gymnast, but if you don't nail the dismount, out it goes, right? So I was thinking about, you know, how to dismount out of this, and so I thought about this particular topic, the Overcomer's Top 10, and I thought of an old guy, this old TV show that made a top 10 list famous. Does anyone remember what that is? David Letterman. How many people in here do not know who David Letterman is? One? Two? How many of you have never seen a David Letterman top 10 list? Woo, going on up there. Okay. So you don't get the reference. It's okay. But I thought about over the 10 messages, I wanted to come back and just kind of do a highlight. Because time and remembering is something that we wrestle with. We all wrestle with it. And I thought to myself, I want to go back and kind of just hit the high notes coming forward and kind of give us something going out. And one of the things that I found, and I absolutely mean what I'm about to say, is as I went back and began to just kind of walk through, I came to realize how much God has used this in my own personal life. Now, we study to teach, we study for our own edification and development, but sometimes, you know, and I'm just thankful. I'm thankful what the Lord's done through this series of messages in my own life. And I can tell you, the pinnacle of the impact is in the area of anxiety. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. So I hope that as we go through this top 10, you'll go, oh yeah, you know, that one's really making a difference in my life. And perhaps at the end of the message, we're going to have a season of prayer. We opened with prayer together. We're going to close it with prayer together. And I hope that my prayer for you would be, Lord, look at what you're doing. And Lord, look at what you will do. All right, well, let's go ahead. So if you haven't been here, now you're going to get the top 10. We opened our series together with the message that the struggle is real. The world says that, well, you know, there's a real struggle. Every day is a struggle, you know, all these things. And then in the church, sometimes people will say, well, if you're in Christ, you shouldn't really struggle. Man, you shouldn't have worry and you shouldn't wrestle with anxiety and all these things. But Paul tells us that the struggle is real. We wrestle every day with our minds, with our hearts, and with our bodies, and with our society. The struggle is real. It's physical, it's emotional, but it's also spiritual. And I believe, and the Bible teaches us, that all of the other struggles can be affected by our spiritual struggle. If we're strong in faith, if we're strong in the Lord, and we're walking in Him, then all the other struggles are influenced by that, and we can have victory in those other struggles. And so Paul gave us the struggler's checklist. He says, first of all, identify where do we need to be? If we want to be overcomers, and I don't think anyone in here wants to be an overcomed. There isn't anyone who goes, well, I just really live to be overcame. I just live every day to feel completely overwhelmed. You know, Lord, please help me feel overwhelmed today. That I see no one pray that on Facebook. No one ever asked me to pray for them to feel overwhelmed. But to be in the Lord, and we talked about what does that mean? To be in the Lord. Now, some people would say to be in this building means to be in the Lord. Now, that's not necessarily true. You can be in a building but not be in the Lord. You can be in McDonald's and not be a Big Mac. You right? Okay, so being in a place doesn't make us. Now, being in this place is a good place, and it has a lot of ramifications. But being in the Lord means this. It means that we are in relationship with Him through faith in the completed works of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what in the Lord means. And Paul says, if we want to be an overcomer, if we truly want to be an overcomer, the first step means we need to be in relationship with God through Christ by faith. Paul identifies that not only are we to be in relationship, but we have to dress the part. Now, it's football season, and I guess the Aggies and the Longhorns need to play each other so one of us can win. That's a joke, Brian. I just needed to see your face. I was trying to lead the Aggies on how to be good fans, and you're the first one to be a bad fan, trying to teach you. But it's true, though. See, he's not denying it, though. He's not denying it. But we have to suit up. If you're going to go play football, you're not going to wear lacrosse equipment. If you're going to play hockey, you're not going to play basketball equipment. Paul says that if we're going to overcome, we have to suit up. And the Bible says we have a full armor, and we talked about that over and over and over, and we try to identify those things. Paul identified also that our goal is what? Our goal is not winning, because we don't know always what winning is. Our goal is to stand firm. In whom? Well, in the Lord. The win is when we stand firm. The win isn't that we defeat, or the win isn't that we win the argument. The win is that we stand firm, and at the end of it, we go, Lord, I'm standing with you, because the Lord always stands with us. We need to change our definition of a win. A win is when we can stand by faith in God, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what our heart says, regardless of what the adversary says, regardless of what our enemies say. We say, Lord, I stand with you because you always stand with me. My friends, that's a win. And then the second, we talked about the unlikely hero. Does anyone like the unlikely hero? Who can hear the theme to Rocky and not want to go run through a dusty, dirty packing plant? Jay-Easy. Easy. He was headed towards the platform. Two steps, brother. We could all make it. Nah. But who doesn't love an underdog? We all love them. Yesterday, Army almost defeated Michigan in the Big House. I was cheering for those Army cadets. Oh, that'd be great. Those Michigan snots, it'd be great. But here's David, the least of the heroes, who sent into a circumstance that he didn't know about, he wasn't prepared for, or he didn't think that he was prepared for. He walks into a war, well, or at least a discussion of a war. And the enemies of God are taunting the people of God. And David goes, hey, isn't someone going to shut these guys up? And everybody goes, well, and he goes, oh, I got you. And David steps into the breach of leadership. David steps into the breach of the fearfulness. David steps into the breach. He says, I'm going to be an overcomer. I'm going to overcome this sizable, intimidating giant. And we see that he had five things. See, I was going to say four, but five. First, he refused to be discouraged by his friends and family. We need to choose not to be discouraged. Everyone in David's life says, David, you can't do it. David, you can't do it. You know what? David couldn't do it, but with God, he did do it. We have to refuse to be discouraged by the opinions of others, and we need to learn to live by the opinion of God. I said it last week, and I've said it more and more lately, and I'm going to say it again. My world is slowly whittling down to a singular opinion. There's only one thing I want to do every day, and that's please Him. And everything else seems to start falling in line. My anxiety starts going down. My worry starts going down. You see, I refuse to be discouraged, because as long as my Heavenly Father is pleased with me, I'm good. And we'll just work out the rest. He refused to be discouraged. Secondly, he reinforced his focus on God. If you remember in the Bible when Peter walked on the water and everybody says, look at how he failed. He's the only cat that got out of the boat. But when he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. My friend, an overcomer in the Lord has to refocus his mind and his attention on God. David didn't allow himself to be distracted by the challenges. Were the challenges real? They absolutely were. Are the challenges you and I face real? They absolutely are. But we need to reinforce and refocus our mind. Thirdly, we need to reflect. Reflect on what? My friends, if God is faithful tomorrow, that means he was going to be faithful today. And if he's faithful today, that means somewhere back behind you, he has been faithful. We can't live back there, but every now and then we need to turn around and take a look. Because if he was faithful then, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll be faithful today. We need to reflect on the previous victories. David had a record of wins. And David says, well, bears and lions, who's this guy? It's not a thing. My friend, if God has seen you through, God will see you through. Amen. We need to reflect on the previous victories. And we need to run to the problem. What are you saying? What I'm saying is this, is the challenges in life, we can't run away from them because they're not going to go away. We need to step in and get ready for the fight. There's a book I'm going to read as soon as I can find it. It's called Swallow the Frog. And it talks about, you know, you live your life and your day, and there's things that you just don't want to do. There's things that you like to do least. And this author's principle is this: do that first, and then everything else is better. Wouldn't that be true? If we started our day off doing the things we really, really don't want to do, you ever had to make that phone call? And it starts bumping down and bumping down and bumping down, and next thing you know, you're going to bed, you go, I'll make that call tomorrow. And you never make that call. But we need to run towards the challenge. We want to face it on our terms. The book Critical Conversations is a wonderful book. You should read it. And it says this, that you will have critical conversations. And if you don't choose to have them, then you're going to have them anyway. Because if we put off and we put off, eventually we're going to have that conversation, but it's not going to have any controls to it whatsoever. It's going to be after the world's on fire. But as long as we delay, we think we're putting it aside or things, but we're not. We need to run towards. And then lastly, we need to remember whom we fight for. Am I fighting for me? I absolutely am. Am I fighting for my bride? I absolutely am. And my family and my church. But ultimately, I belong to the Lord. I'm fighting for the Lord. And how I fight and where I fight and what price I'm willing to pay, it's all because of what the Lord has done for me. And here's the question I have to ask all of us. What is the Lord not worth to us? He's given me everything that I have. He's worth everything that I have. And then we talked about strength over weakness. I think I'm going to go into sumo in my second career. Problem is, I'm a little too, that's a little revealing there. But we talk about strength and weakness. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I can charge hell with a water pistol. And sometimes I just feel like an absolute coward. But we need to find strength, not in just ourselves. If you rely only on your strength, it won't last. If you draw from the strength of others, that's good too. It's very important. But we need to download God's strength. And how do we do that? Well, we need to download His Word. The Bible is God's gateway to Him. How can we love? How can we trust? How can we believe in someone we don't know? And the only way we can know Him is to be in His Word. We download His Word into our lives. We worship Him. That's why being here is important on a Sunday morning. We worship Him. We focus our mind's attention and our heart's affection on the Lord. And we wait on Him. Waiting's hard. We talked about that last week. Waiting's hard, isn't it? But sometimes we just need to wait. We just need to wait on the Lord. We talked about overcoming false with true. We talked about the necessity of objective truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're here today, that means somewhere in the scale of 1 to 100%, you believe in objective truth. That means there's absolutes. There's absolute good and absolute evil. There's absolute truth and absolute untruth. And our world today that we're living in says that everyone's truth is the equal truth. Well, my friends, that's not true. Your truth and my truth may be my truth, but it's not necessarily true. The challenge that we live in today is the world is constantly trying to live by everyone else's truth. The Bible says that God's Word is truth. And so we have to decide, if we're going to be overcomers, what is our truth? Is it a political party? Is it a television show? Is it our employer? What is our truth? And if it's anything other than God and His Word, they'll move the target on you. It's constantly changing. Do you know I've noticed? Western wear is coming back in vogue. Can you believe it? If I only had my boots, my belt, and my hat with the feather headband, I'd be back, Brian. Because you know what? Somewhere in time in history, they said, the truth is this is the way you should look if you want to look good. And then someone said, no, the truth is, if you look like that, you look, yeah. Well, it's coming back. You see, objective truth says there is truth. And the truth is unchanging. And as a believer, as a person in Christ, as an overcomer, I have to stand on the truth that God's word is true. We live in a world of spin. We're coming up on a political season. I would rather get a root canal every day without anesthesia than live through another political season. Can you feel me? Did it ever end? Did we ever stop political season? Anyway, but we pay people to be spin doctors. We put them on national TV to come on and to tell us, don't listen to what you heard, listen to what I want you to hear. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way the world is today. Whether it's politics or whether it's God's word or whether it's how you should run your life, everybody wants to put their spin on it. And I told you earlier, I'm only worried about one spin, and it's his spin. And if his spin disagrees with my spin, then I got to go with his spin. But we have to decide if we're going to be overcomers, we have to be diligently committed to the fact that there is truth. And God is truth. We talked about overcoming evil with good. The pathway to overcoming evil begins within us. We are the antidote to evil. The antidote to evil in our world begins when each and every one of us meets him on his terms. He comes in and he gives us the ability to put the old self into bondage. I'm a born-again Christian, been walking with the Lord 30 years. I'm a greater Christian now than I was 30 years ago. Amen. But I want you to know the old me, the BC me, still lives. All the words I used to know, I still know. All the attitudes I used to practice, I still know them. All the things that I once did, I still know where to find them. As the truth is, they're easier. They would be easier to get to than ever. But I subjugate the old me through the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit who indwells in me. And I'm overcoming the evil me with the new me. Our sin nature will not be eradicated from us until we stand in glory. But until then, we must wrestle with it. We must leave vengeance to God. The way we overcome evil is, you know what? We don't have to get even with everybody. We don't have, listen, sometimes it just, geez, just walk away. I overheard a near fisticuff fight at a restaurant this weekend over a non-licensed service dog coming into the restaurant. Is that really? I mean, is that, we really want to blow our world up over that? We must leave vengeance to God. Listen, when the world or an individual sins against us, okay. I'm not saying it's not a sin, but we need to let God take care of some stuff. Secondly, we need to learn to plan ahead. Impulse buying will cost you a lot of money and a lot of calories, amen? They put all that stuff right there at the checkout counter because you know why? They want you. Can I just say this? If we live our lives living on impulses, we're going to act unbecomingly more than we act comingly. We have to plan ahead. We have to practice like we want to play. We can't just bounce through life as believers. We need to live peaceably with all men. You really can. You say, well, you know, this Bob at work, I just can't stand him. Every time I see him, he makes my blood pressure go up. Well, do you have to work next to Bob? No, he works in another building. Guess what? Don't go to the building. Da-da-da-da. Live peaceably with all men as best you can. Oop, I think I forgot one there. And then lastly, lean into the next right thing. Listen, when there's things here, man, leave it to the Lord and let's just press on. Let's just press on. Let's lean into the next good thing, the next right thing. And we talked about overcoming anxiety with peace. This is the mountaintop for me in this series, this particular message. I don't know if you know, and if you don't know, I'm ADD and dyslexic, so I live in three channels, and anxiety can really rev in my life over the most amazing things. As an overcomer, we truly can have peace over anxiety. Anxiety is defined as a state of intense apprehension, uncertainty, and fear resulting from anticipation of threatening event or situation, often to the degree that normal physical or psychological function is disrupted. And what I've come to realize is this, is there's a difference between worry and anxiety. Anxiety is when I live in the what ifs. If you ever find yourself in the loop of what if, well, what if I teach this morning? Well, and what if someone new doesn't like the way I teach? And what if they go on Facebook and they say that, well, Jimmy's a terrible preacher? And then what if someone in my fellowship that I know goes, well, he was just off today? Well, what if the person from my church starts believing what that person said? And then what, you see where that goes? Well, what if I go to work Monday and Bob's mad at me because I never go out to the building to see him? You know, what if? Here's the thing is, can I ask you this? Do you have any clue of what is in the what if? None. Do you have any control over the what if? None. You don't know what is. You can't control it. So you certainly can't have anything to do with the outcome of it. But the devil will wrap you and I around an axle every day and twice on Sunday playing the what if game. God says, don't live in the what if. Live in the what you know and trust me for the whatever. Now, I'm not a pie in the sky. I'm not some guy who says, listen, you just deny the struggle. You just, hey, it's not going to be real. Everything's going to be roses. Listen, not everything in life is roses. Sometimes a rose has to bloom in a cow pie. But this is what I know is when we get lost in the what ifs, my friends, it is a terrible place to be. God says, don't go there. Anxiety. So this is my question to you. The next time you find yourself just anxious and you know what it looks like and you know what it drives you to do, ask yourself, am I lost in the what ifs? And if you are, you see, having peace with God affords us the peace of God. If you remember, I could have peace not because I know what's coming, but because I know who's already there. I have a peace that God has made a promise to me. I have a peace that God has been faithful to me. I have a peace that God has a plan for me. I don't know what's coming, but I do know Him. And because I know Him, I'm not going to get lost in the what ifs. I'm not going to allow myself to do that because I'm going to make terrible decisions. Overcoming fear with faith. Now, fear is not anxiety. Fear drives us to actually do something. Fear is a good thing. Has anyone here ever not done something because you were afraid to do it? Yeah. God put that in you. That's so your mind goes, no, 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 no. But the problem is you can overcome the no, 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 no. Like jumping off train trestles and, you know, those kind of things. But we have to overcome fear with faith. And the only way we can overcome fear with faith is that the faith has to be in something that's strong, effective, and trustworthy. The object of our faith is important. Now, I want you to know this. I'm not declaring I'm going to do it. I'm declaring to you publicly that I'm seriously considering it. For my 55th birthday, I think I want to go skydiving. So y'all can pray about that. Huh? Did you? And you're here? Okay, I need to talk to you. I'm just thinking. Come on, wouldn't you love one Saturday you get on your Facebook and there's me. My cheeks. Come on, you'd love it. Anyway, but we talked about the daily things we put faith in, our cars, stoplights. Every time you go through a stoplight, you're exercising faith. Every time you step into an elevator, you're exercising faith. Every time you go out to eat, you're exercising faith. Every time you go into a place and they're called a doctor because they're wearing white with a stethoscope, you're practicing faith. Lou Holtz says you go 9-1 as a football coach, you're called a loser, but you have a person who's last in their medical class, you give them a white robe and a stethoscope and you call them doctor. Every time you climb onto a plane, you see our world is not absence of faith, it's who we're putting our faith in. And if we're going to be overcomers, we've got to put our faith in something that's trustworthy. And that thing is a person, and that person is God. We have to put our faith in him. If we're going to overcome fear, we have to put our faith in something trustworthy. Knowledge produces faith. You remember we talked about the only way we can know God is we got to start downloading in our lives, and the first place we go is his word. Well, the only way we can know him is to download him, and the only way when we download him, it produces faith. The more I know him, the more I know about him. The more I know about him, the more faithful he is. The more faith I have, it produces works. It gives me the courage to do. It gives me the courage to try. And the more faith I have, it creates works, and works produces growth. Does that mean I bat 1,000? Nope. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. Sometimes I'm the hammer, sometimes I'm the nail. But you know what? Even in the wins or the victories, I grow. And growth reduces fear. The more I grow, the lower my fear becomes. We talked about overcoming confusion. I said, this is my brain on Sunday mornings. We talked about the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is the accumulation of information. I've got tons of information. How many of you have 100 contacts in your cell phone? Okay. How many of you have 200? How many of you go, well, I might have 300? How many of you have less than 100? How many of you have less than 50? Okay. You see, I never delete a number because I might need it. Last week, I reached out to someone and I text them on the number that I have for them. And either A, they're ghosting me, or B, they've got a new number. I don't know which one. We'll just find out. But you see, knowledge is the accumulation of information. And that's a good thing. But knowledge and wisdom aren't the same thing. The Bible tells us that how much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. Ooh, wee. And then we talked about wisdom. Wisdom's the ability to rightly apply knowledge. And you guys really love this. Knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit, but having the wisdom not to put it in your fruit salad. We talked about overcoming temptation. And we talked about that... let no one say when they're tempted that they're being tempted by God, because God tempts no one. We talked about temptation is not a sin. Yielding to the temptation is the sin. You have no control. Well, that's not true. We have limited control over what comes into our lives. And the difference between a test and temptation, God will allow tests in your life. But a test will always call you to Christ-likeness. A temptation will always call you to sin. Two more, and we talked last 2 weeks ago about prayer. I love this. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says this, true prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It's a spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth. Prayer is something that we need to exercise more than just in the case of an emergency. Prayer is an ongoing conversation with the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. Prayer is a conversation with a God who loved you enough to send his son before you even knew him. Prayer is a conversation with a God who loves you enough to sacrifice his son for you and still gives you the right to say thanks, but no thanks. Prayer is an important thing. Prayer is a simple thing. Just an ongoing conversation. You remember we talked about you need to be in fellowship to have clear communication. It's like with your spouse, man. If you're like this, you're not communicating good. Or your kids. We got to make sure to keep that communication clear. And sometimes when we pray, God's answer is wait. Every prayer is answered. You need to understand that. Every prayer is answered. Yes? No? Wait. The third one's the hardest. But I propose to you that some of the greatest things in your life are the things God told you originally. Just wait. Just wait. And how do I know that? Well, my bride's sitting right there. God said, wait. Which microwave? Jim, can I ask you? You're a man who enjoys barbecue, yeah? Can I ask you, which one of these meals would you rather have? Tanya, don't look. Now, you can have something straight out of the microwave. I'm not hating on microwaves. I still think they're magic. How do you throw nuclear medicine in my kitchen and not kill me? I don't know. It's still a miracle. But if I'm willing to wait, look at that barbecue. And see, that's probably been basted. Oh, hey, they're from Texas. I just now noticed there's some jalapenos on that grill. Because you see what I see there? I see all the lunch I could want and dinner in 2 or 3 days. The greatest things in life, I propose to you, we have to wait for. The last week, we talked about overcoming death through life. Physical death is not the cessation of life, it's separation. James tells us that when our spiritual being is absent from this tent gets folded up, but we don't cease to exist. We are eternal beings. But we also know that there's a second death. It's called the second death, and that's the spiritual death. That means when we step into eternity, if we're not prepared and in relationship with God, we will be eternally separated from His presence and His promises. And my friends, the Bible calls that place hell. Heard it once said that for an unbeliever, this is the closest thing to heaven they'll experience. For the believer, this is the closest thing to hell they'll experience. We must be prepared to step into eternity with God. And how can we overcome this? Well, we talked about the realities of death, and we talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And no, it's not Easter yet, but this one may come back. The soldiers were committed to a life or death situation. They were either going to be faithful or they were going to be killed. They walked away from their post. The seal on the tomb was man's way of saying, God has expired. God has expired. Every generation wants to say there is no God. God's dead. Even if there was a God, He's dead. My friends, man cannot put an expiration date on God. He is eternal. He has no beginning or no end. The seal on the tomb was not God's expiration date. It was just a wait a minute. The stone that was rolled away. The sepulcher that was empty. The empty tomb. Now, what's interesting, and we mentioned this last week, is experts aren't arguing whether it's empty or not. The debate's over how and why. It's empty. How and why? Well, I can tell you how, and I can tell you why. But the world rejects. We talked about the shroud, the garments that Jesus was laid into the tomb. The Bible says it was right where they left it. Why is that important? Well, it disperses a lot of myths. If Jesus walked out, He would have taken the shroud with Him. If someone had stolen Him, they would have taken the shroud with Him. The scars that Jesus showed to His disciples. We talked last week, if you remember, about the scars and the memories, the marks of ownership. I want you to know, I've been thinking a lot about the scars in my life. This last week, I finally gave in and, for the first time since I was 11, laid on an x-ray table. And got to revisit some very unpleasant memories. To be told that the leg that was broken all those years ago now has arthritis in it. And so, from here on out, it just gets worse. But as I was laying there, the x-ray tech I told her, I said, you're the first person to look at this leg since I was 11. And she giggled at that. And I got to tell her how Jesus saved me all those years ago. You see, the scars remind you and I what we've overcome. We don't deny the hurt. We don't deny the pain. We don't deny the struggle. But we glory in the overcoming. We talked about the sightings. Over 400 people say, I saw Jesus. I put my hand in the scars. Can I ask you this? And I asked you last week, what would you be willing to die for? What lie would you be willing to die for? Not a single apostle, not a single person of the 400 that we know of that Jesus saw, not a single one of them recanted their testimony, even into the point of death. My friends, I won't die for a lie, but I'll die for a truth. We talked about that we can see Jesus every day. I see Jesus every day. I see him in your life. I see him in the life of our community. I see him, and I see what he's doing, and I see what he's striving to do. I see him. And we talked about the overcomer's endowment. Well, because Jesus is risen and because I can stand in him by faith through grace, he says, first of all, that I can live a life forgiven. When I fumble the ball, God forgives me for what I used to do, what I do. And he's so gracious, he says, I've even got what's coming. I don't know about you, but it's sure nice to be forgiven, isn't it? Is there nothing more sweet than to call someone or to go see them and say, would you please forgive me? And they go, oh, baby, yeah, I forgive you. He says we can have a life of meaning. It's not just chasing the dollar. It's not just climbing in a hole and pulling the hole in behind us. We can live this life and it can have meaning. It can have temporal meaning, but greater than that, it can have eternal meaning. We can have a life of power that we can overcome. We can make a difference. We can have a life never ending. What does that mean? Well, it means we can overcome our sin through God's grace. And one day when I step out of this, I'm going to step into heaven. And arthritis won't be a part of my world. Cancer won't be a part of our world. Alzheimer's won't be a part of our world. Heaven is a beautiful place filled with his glorious grace. It's a prepared place for prepared people. And I'm prepared. And I hope that you're prepared. That you can have a never-ending life with him. In closing, I want to ask this question. When we opened this series, I asked you if you'd make a note somewhere about what you would like God to help you overcome. I don't know how many of you did it, but my question to you is this. If you did, are you? Are you overcoming? Or maybe we didn't touch on what you need to overcome with. If you need help, you can contact me. Now let me ask you this question. What do you need to overcome? They're talking to each other. It's all right. Amen. I'd rather hear the cry of a newborn than. Can I ask you, what do you need to overcome? What's going on? And in your mind's eye, you can see it, and you know what it is. And I want you to know this, that you can overcome. It takes perseverance. Overcoming always comes in God's timing, not ours. Don't mistake God's saying wait for no. What do you need to overcome? When we began this, I invited people for prayer. Travis, will you come up and noodle for me here just a second? And I want to end it the way we started it. What do you need prayer for? What do you need to pray for God to help you overcome? Now, this is not for you to come and tell me, although I'd love to talk to you about it later on, but that's not what this is. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come, and we're going to pray together right here. And in your coming, you're simply saying, I've got something I want God to help me overcome. You see, you know what it is, and God knows what it is, and quite truthfully, you're the only two that have to know. But by standing, you can say, I'm confessing I have a need, and you might encourage someone else. And in part of this prayer today, we're going to pray by faith with Jim and his bride. And the Phillips family, he's heading down to MD Anderson this afternoon because they've got something to overcome. And we're going to pray because God's in the overcoming business. What do you need to overcome? There is something. I don't know. Let's just bow our heads for just a moment, shall we? Travis, if you'll go ahead and just play over us. Father, I just pray for this moment. God, I just sense that there's something really, there's just something. And Father, I just pray that whatever it is and with whomever it is, Lord, that you would win. Father, just break through the mind and the heart. Lord, dispel the anxiety. Lord, I'm just kind of a loss right this moment. But Father, I love these people, and I know they love you. And Lord, I'd want nothing more than you to be glorified. Father, put your arms around your children and shout into their hearts, I got you. I've got you. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I have got you. Father, I pray that you'd be glorified in these next few moments. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to give you just a second. I'm going to ask you, is there something that you would like to be included in a corporate pastoral prayer this morning? In coming up to the front with me, you're not going to be required to say anything. You're not going to be asked to say anything. It's between you and the Lord. But in coming, we're confessing that we stand in need. In coming, we're confessing that standing together is better than standing alone. In coming together, we are saying that we need each other. And it's an invitation in. For those that would remain seated, it's an invitation in to the need. And my challenge to you is if you're going to remain seated today and you see those that come up here for prayer, that somewhere in a private, loving way, you get with them and you say, hey, how can I be a part of your need? And if you're the one that remains seated, you say, I want to be a part because we're better together. Don't allow the devil to play that game in your mind like, hey, what's going on that they're going up there? It's none of our business. The devil's a liar. Now, for those of you that you need this, you want this, I'm going to invite everyone to stand and just quietly let that person out. Let them slide by. Everyone stand and just making it easy for us to move about. You come on. If that's you, you just come on. And we're just going to huddle in right here in front of the platform. You just come on. I don't know what your need is. Some of you, I can guess. Some of you, I think I probably have a pretty good idea. But this is what I know. God knows and God cares. I don't know what his answer is going to be. But what I do know is we can love him and we can trust him because he loves you and he loves me. And my prayer over us today is this, that God would be glorified, that you and I would see him in a new, deeper way, that we as a body of faith could see him and experience him in a fresh way, and that those who walk alongside of us will see him. That they'll see him. And they'll say, I need him because they need him. I need him because they have him. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, I just thank you for this day. God, I need you. I need you. And Father, today we stand here simply confessing we need you. Lord, you know exactly what our needs are. For we do not pray to remind you of one thing, for you forget not one thing. Father, we pray to remind ourselves of whom we have placed our faith in. We pray to remind ourselves of who loves us more than we love us. We pray to remind ourselves that there is hope and there is healing and there is purpose and there is value in the journey. Father, we pray for one another. Lord, help us to walk arm in arm. Like Corrie Ten Boom told us weeks ago, that it's foolishness to pray on the behalf of others if we're not willing to become a part of the answer. Lord, today we lift up our needs to you. And Lord, today I lift Jim and his family up to you by name. And God, I hate that word. God, I hate cancer with every fiber of my being. And God, I know you're greater than it. And Father, I lift him up to you. And I remind myself that you love him. And Lord, I place him into your loving hands, and I trust you for him. And God, I ask unashamedly today, Lord, that you would heal him. Lord, that you would heal him completely. Now, Lord, how you choose to do it, I'll leave in your capable hands. God, I pray that you would bless him and his bride and his family. Lord, give them strength. Lord, give them peace. Lord, give them traveling mercies. Father, may they be a candle to everyone they encounter as they go to Houston. Lord, may they have a hope that people would revel to understand. May they have a peace that passes all understanding. God, we pray for the wisdom of God to be placed in the minds and the hearts of men and women, Lord, for a pathway forward. We trust you. Father, for each and every one, Lord, we trust you. And Lord, we leave this place humbled by your presence, but emboldened by that same presence. Father, we anxiously look to see how you overcome and allow us to be the benefactors. And Father, let us quickly and assuredly give you the glory. For Lord, you and you alone will be worthy of it. We love you, Lord, and we simply ask that the world might see you in us, in our wins and our defeats. We love you. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the promise of your word. And we thank you in advance for what you will do in and through our need to overcome. Father, bless these, your children. Bless this sweet hour of prayer. And Lord, help us to be a blessing to those we encounter, that they might see Jesus in us. It's in his name that we pray, and it's for his glory we ask. Amen. 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 You guys can...